Join the chorus. It's time for another North Melbourne Footy Club update with Dean Vasek and special guests on Hashtag Kangaroos.
Welcome to another episode. My name is Dean Vasek. You can find me on Twitter at Hashtag Kangas or on Instagram at Hashtag Kangaroos Podcast. So today I went back to the men's team and we did a bit of discussion on the best and fairest, a bit of news, Ben Amafio, we talked about him. And a number of other things. Plus, I started my players review podcast. I did six players. We talked about them in depth. It's gone in alphabetical order, first name alphabetical order. So, you know, started off with Aaron Hall and I finished with Ben Cunnington. Today, I'll continue that for a number of weeks going into, you know, our trade period and into the off season as well. So I'll continue to do them as well as continue to talk about the women's team as well. Anyways, I won't hold you up anymore. I'll bring on Michael right now.
All right. So once again, joined by Michael Salvatore. Now, you haven't been on for a few weeks, Michael. We're still playing. A lot has changed in the last few weeks. We'll start with Ben Amafio last week. And there's been a lot of rumour probably the last few months that this was going to happen. How did you see the legacy that he left for the club?
I thought it was a really good legacy he left behind. First of all, good evening to you, Dean. It's great to be back on the podcast as well. And a bit of a shout out to the Bombers. Happy birthday to the scum down the road in the warehouses. Yeah. They missed out on Miller Clarko. They missed out on Zerha. And I hear they're going to miss out on their driver's license too because they just can't drive. Oh, that ladder. Now we're in finals.
Yeah. Very good. It's good to start with a bit of cheekiness to our crosstown rivals. So, yeah.
No, absolutely, yeah. No, but going back to Ben Amafio, though, like, yeah, I'd say he's left a good legacy behind. He led our club to being debt-free for the first time in 34 years. So that's absolutely brilliant. It speaks for itself. And I hope that from here on we can go up and keep rising our membership, which is amazing to see 50,000 on our North supporters. That's beautiful work there. Obviously, the Clarko effect will be helping that go to 60K, I hope. And look, the master plan that Arden Street's going to have, that Ben Amafio has been working on behind the scenes, and the continued support of the huddle as well has been absolutely enormous. So time's come to an end for Ben, but it's great to see that he has left a legacy behind that we can all look back on and say, well done.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the criticism comes as far as football knowledge goes. Like, business-wise, he seems very switched on. He's done really well in the cricket industry as well with all that and basketball. But it's probably just his knowledge of football that's probably and the way he spoke about football and how to run a club. It probably left a few people, wondering whether he was the right man for the job. And I think the pressure might have got to him in the end, and yeah, that's probably why. After 3 years, I think it was probably more of a forced resignation rather than actually, let go. But that's probably why he was let go. Just based on his knowledge of football, I think lacked. That's pretty much it, isn't it?
Oh, look, that's right. And now with Alistair at the helm and taking over as coach, it's going to have to be a lot more about football as well with the business side of things. It's going to be a huge 5 years coming up, and we definitely need all the cattle that have the football knowledge as well and with the business side of things too. So it is what it is with the Forces of Nation was a call for Ben, but, it's okay, I guess. We'll be onwards and upwards.
Yeah, 100%. And like you said, he did a lot of good things, like the Arden Precinct he was a big part of. Getting the club debt-free. There's a lot of talk that that was already on track anyway before he came along, but he's still there when it happened. Like, could have easily gone the other way. Could have easily gone to St Kilda levels of debt, where they are now. So, there's a part to play in that. And considering we had COVID affected football games for 2 years, or 1 year in particular, to come away with a profit out of that, it was quite extraordinary, I reckon. So, I think I mean, it's hard to be critical of him. I think, you know, I mean, it's easy to sort of nitpick and sort of say, well, he didn't have a clue about football or anything like that. But at the end of the day, you know, it was a business as well. And, yeah, he got that part right. It's just the other part he probably didn't know much about. So, yeah, I mean, in saying all that, like, obviously we've been linked with a couple of big names, Peter Bell, Mark Brayshaw. Any of those guys tickle your fancy as far as becoming a CEO?
Yeah, the rumours of Peter Bell coming back. He just received North Melbourne Life membership at their 96 reunion, which is fantastic to see. But we do know that the close relationship Clarko has with Mark Brayshaw, I think that would play the role a lot better just because they work well together. So I wouldn't put a line through that at all. I think I'd be more for that than Peter Bell. No disrespect to Peter at all. But yeah, that's probably the path that I see us going down. And another Brayshaw to join the Kangas too, which would be great to see.
Yeah, 100%. Like, we had quite a bit of success with James. I think Mark was on the board when James came on for when he first came on. I think he was on the board when all that Gold Coast thing was happening and you know, the relocation up to the Gold Coast area. So I think he was part of the James Brayshaw, you know, conglomerate that we formed. So yeah, no, we'll certainly see how that pans out over the next few weeks. So yeah, I guess the broom has been coming through since Clarkson's come in. So yeah, I mean, just subtle changes, I guess. So yeah, I mean, big ones, but assistant coaches and CEOs. They're pretty big changes, I guess, at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
100%.
Yeah, we'll see how we go with that. We'll talk about some delistings that have happened last week as well. So Corin Hayden, Matt McGuinness and Pat Walker, all delisted. No surprisings there really, was there?
I was a little bit surprised with Paddy Walker and McGuinness only because they hadn't played a game with North. I understand that was going to be more prone to them being delisted, but I feel like that if they were given that chance at AFL level, we would have seen them play pretty well. Fortunately, it's not the case. With Corin Hayden, here's the most unfortunate part to that whole thing there. The bloke, he did have a serious injury after the first game when he had that big role on shutting down Pendlebury. But since then, I feel like he's been very yo-yo-ish in a way, being in the club, being in the side, out of the side, injuries. So I think the run has been on the wall for a while with being delisted and officially delisted from the club, not being rookie listed again. So look, it is what it is for those players. Unfortunately, they're going to be moved on somewhere else. And best of luck to all three of them, I'd say.
Yeah, I'd say Corin will probably go back to WA. Yeah, I mean, you talked about the injury he did have against Pendlebury. That was probably his best role, like as that run with sort of player.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he did move into the back line. And I felt he was okay. Like, he did fill a role for us early this year when we were decimated with key position injuries. He played okay, but just the butchering of the ball, I guess, really hurt his probably his career path. I think he wasn't a reliable kick. Probably not big enough to play on a key forward and not quick enough to play on a small forward. So he was that in-between player that was, neither good enough for modern-day football or, yeah, it wasn't bad enough, but he wasn't good enough either. And, he wasn't an Aaron Hall type, but he certainly wasn't a Ben McKay type. So he was that in-between player.
Absolutely.
And, you can probably just... he got the best out of himself, that's for sure. He did put in everything he had every time he went out there. So that's all you can ask, and sometimes it just doesn't work out. Matt McGuinness, I was a bit surprised. Earlier in the year, it looked like he was on the fringes of getting a game, and then he just... fell out of favour, particularly when we started getting players back, like Josh Goda, when he started coming through. And, we've got a number of other halfback flankers, like Jaden Stevenson went back there, and, a number of others as well. That, he kind of went back in the pecking order. Been at the club for a few years, obviously been hampered by injury. And Patrick Walker,
I had a chat with him as well at Best and Fairest on Thursday night with Paddy Walker, and he was pretty gutted, doubt to say that. I think that, he was pretty confident to stay on, he said to me. But, I said to him, you're still a shin boner, mate, regardless whether you played or not. So good luck to your future, I reckon. He reckons he's got something coming with another club. He wasn't going to say who, but yeah, best of luck to him too.
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah, I mean, you can't hope they get another opportunity somewhere else. It's probably going to be hard because list spots are very tight. And if you probably haven't made it by 21, 22 and you've been delisted, generally, you got to go back to the VFL or, you know, like Sandful, Waffle to try and get that opportunity again and really dominate there. So
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, we'll see how we go. Now, I wanted to touch on Jed Anderson. Now, apparently last week I heard that he wasn't going to get offered a new contract. I don't know what's if that's continuing, whether he isn't, because he hasn't officially been delisted. Have you heard anything about that?
I heard a rumor that he spoke to a few of the North boys before Clarkson was appointed and did say if it's anyone else that's coaching us, he thinks that he will stay. But if Clarkson is coaching the Kangas, which he is, he thought that he would be gone. So I am thinking that he is going to be delisted or traded. I see he still has some value. Whether it's going to be a good pick or a player for player, sort of maybe, you know, trade him to the Suns if he can. Maybe get a Josh Corbett from there, who's, you know, on the fringes at the moment.
Be nice.
Yeah, absolutely would be nice because you do see the Suns playing in Darwin a fair bit, so that would make a lot of sense. But also being in Adelaide would make a lot of sense too because he's close to the family. So look, anywhere for Anderson really would look good. I don't know what I'd see him provide for the football club at the moment either. When you've got all these murmurings of players coming to North who are from midfield types and who are bigger bodied too. Where would you see him in a team if he was to stay? Do you see him belonging in the team in any role at half forward or in the midfield?
Yeah, I think as far as midfield, that'll probably be out. I don't think he'd get a game there. There's just too many players coming through, like a Simpkin, LDU, a number of others. Ben Cunnington's back now as well. I'd say he'd probably be that half forward that can go for spells in the midfield because he can put pressure on. Be that pressuring forward that we're sort of really, really lacking at the moment. So, yeah, that probably is role for now and the future. Now, he isn't a free agent, so we can use him in a trade. Like you said, maybe a Josh Corbett would be nice. He looks really good in the reserves. Yeah, no, he'd be quite handy if we could just get a player that's on the fringes of somewhere else and see if we can, you know, get something out of it. It's like a bit of a lottery pick. You know, you never know. You might find someone. So, yeah. I mean, or whether he's used as, you know, maybe he's a WA boy. Maybe he's used as Darcy Tucker from Fremantle. Maybe he could be used as part of that sort of a trade who's fallen a bit out of favour at Fremantle this year with Will Brody coming in. So, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm not too sure. This is just me speculating. So, yeah, no, I think I still think he's got a future in the AFL. Like, he's still only 29. He's a hard, tough body. You know, he gets a fair bit of ball. I thought he had a reasonable year this year. I don't know if it's all got to do anything with Alistair Clarkson because he did trade him a number of years ago when he was only 21. Or whether the whole vaccination thing at the start of the year, maybe that played a part. I'm not too sure. So this is just me, you know, talking through my ass, basically. So, I'm a bit surprised. Are you a bit surprised that he probably won't get offered a new contract?
I'm not really surprised, if I'm being honest. We'll be getting Cunners back on a full-time basis, as it seems. And Anderson's big body, look, if it's great to have, but I think we have already seen the likes of Hugh Greenwood with his leadership as well come in to play. His leadership will be a standout, I would say, coming up with the Clarko legacy. I don't think that Anderson will be able to lead our, you know, young group the way those blokes will. Maybe he will lead better at Fremantle with a young group there. Maybe he will lead better at Gold Coast, a young group there. But his time at North, I think, is done. He's been brilliant for us. It's going to be an end, and it's here for Jed.
Yeah, no, it certainly seems that way. And, yeah, I mean, I'm not too sure, mate. Maybe, the club only see him as a fringe player next year, not in the best 22, and I'd rather give that opportunity to someone else, whether that's from another club or a young kid coming through. So, yeah, we'll see how we go. I mean, I'm sure there might be a few more surprises with players. It sounds like the club are going to be aggressive, and they're already talking aggressive about players they want to bring in, so they'll probably have to, trade a few out as well, by the sounds of it. So, we'll go to, in saying that, we'll go to some re-signings that have happened in the last few days. So the most important one, obviously, is Cameron Zerha. Were you worried probably, a week and a half ago? It did seem like he was rumoured to leave, and then all of a sudden he's re-signed for 2 more years. How did you see all that anyway?
I was very nervous to say. I got to the point where I thought, okay, well, just let him go. He's just going to wait around. I don't really care anymore. In saying that, he is a fantastic player for us. He is very important with his signing. He will show a lot more under the leadership of Clarkson. I think his goal kicking from a half forward to midfield sort of role will improve. And he has that potential to break a game out. We saw what he could do against Richmond, for example. I think he can become tougher and better than a Jordan Ngoi type two, who we saw on the weekend absolutely break open that game for the Pies. Zerha, he's just one of a kind. He came from a rookie list, a rookie draft, shall I say, and he's been an absolute shining light for us. So, well, I'm very excited he's signed on. 2 years, I think he's just waiting till he gets that free agency name to himself. So only time will tell. Maybe you might want to sign up for another, further 4 or 5 years after that. But happy with what it is for now, and we'll see what he can do.
Yeah, I mean, he did lead the team in scoring goals this year. He's very important in our forward structure. He kicked 34 goals as well. So clearly him and Larky have got a good rapport, and the two leading goal kickers by a fair way. So very important to get his signature. I mean, he's a big part of, that forward line going forward. It's better that, we kept him on for another 2 years. I mean, at the end of the day, he's probably got a little bit of doubts. He wants to see how the club's going to go for the next couple of years, and then he can explore free agency after that.
Which is fair enough. We're all going to be like the same thing, We want to see what's best for the club coming up. If you're a player, for example, and you're seeing that, the club's really in a bit of a pickle, and 2 years' time we might see us top four. Cam might go, bang, I'm staying here. If he doesn't see any improvement, he might just go, well, see you guys, I stuck around, but I need to chase some glory to better benefit myself, and I wouldn't blame him at all. But in saying that, 2 years more and he'll see that the improvement's there.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, do you think, we don't know for sure, but do you think if Clarkson didn't come as coach, he probably would have left, wouldn't he?
I think so.
Yeah, you'd have to think that. And I don't think he would be the only one either. So
he wouldn't have been. No way. I did have a discussion with one of the players at Best and Fairest that night, and they did say that the playing group just had it with the Nobes. He lost the players. So a lot of players were very confused on where they're going to be at for their futures because they didn't want to be with Noble and at the football club. So there would have been a lot more leaving the club, but it's in a positive status right now, which is great to see.
Yeah, and a lot of the media don't know that. I mean, they sort of say, rebuilds take time. He wasn't given time and stuff like that. But this, it was causing disgruntlement, and you could sort of tell that. There was talk halfway through the year, Jason O'Francis, he wanted to leave. Cameron Zerha, he wanted to leave. Todd Goldstein, he wanted to leave. Bailey Scott, wanted to leave. Now he's probably going to stay. So, at the end of the day, we kind of need to make that decision, didn't we? You can't be losing games by 50 or 60 points and expect a happy workplace and players to be, jovial and upbeat and sort of saying, this is all good. We'll just keep going along this for the next 5 years, no dramas. So, something has to change, didn't it?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, that's all you can do. We also re-signed Curtis Taylor to 2 more years. Now, we weren't too worried that he was going to leave, but, he was important this year as well. So to get 2 more years out of him, it builds to our core, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And building the building young players like Curtis with some of the younger boys coming through, it's going to only improve Curtis's game too, as that mid forward, that half forward. We know that he can take a big mark. He's been rated very high for that from a young age. So as time goes on, as he gets more games, as the players around get more games, he can just almost go bang, and he has the potential to be in Australia one day. You never know.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. Yeah. No, and I think his work rate has picked up like a lot this year. I felt like he's gut run a lot harder this year, like to get to more contests. And yeah, I mean, even kilometres per game, he was running a lot more, I felt like, this year. So yeah, no, he's got the talent, but now he's got the work ethic. I think he will only grow as the games keep going forward. So yeah, no, very important play. Where do you see his best position, Curtis Taylor? Do you see him as a wingman or a half forward or a combination of both?
I don't see him being on the wing as those spots that have probably been taken by other players. I would see him more at half forward. I think he'd be. This is where the Anderson situation starts to leave. Anderson being gone, or potentially gone, will leave that door open for Curtis. And Curtis, we know how to kick a goal. He can kick a goal from outside 50. He can run inside 50, kick a goal. That goal kicked against the Bulldogs during the year on a Good Friday. That was
Yes.
unreal. Got the crowd absolutely going bananas with that goal. And he gets the vibes going. He gets the players up and about. And he's exciting to watch. He's electrical. He's got some X factor. You want to see that. And when he starts playing with blokes like Paul Curtis, gee whiz, it's going to be a very hard time to stop North Melbourne's forward line. Let me tell you that.
Yeah, that's why getting the signature of Cameron Zerha was even more important, because he'll just add to that core group.
Absolutely.
And you've got Eddie Ford as well, who's got a lot of X factor in the reserve. So there's going to be a lot more depth as far as
Oh,
forwards.
yeah.
Phoenix Spicer as well, another year, another pre-season. He can certainly go forward. So yeah, no, it's very exciting times. Now, you were at the Best and Fairest, Michael. What were your thoughts on all that? How did the night go anyway?
It was a fun night. I did have a big night, I should say. I don't remember a whole lot. But look, it was a fun night altogether. Players were so easy to talk to. They'd actually come around to tables and talk to a lot of the people that were there. It was very engaging, very, very respectful as well. Like, they wouldn't turn their backs to you at all when they're talking to you. The roar for when Sonia went onto that stage was impeccable. The roar for when Alistair Clarkson was just unreal. Just the night all round was fantastic, and look, it's definitely worth going to. Hopefully they go to Crown next year, where it's a bigger area and a lot more people can attend, because it's one of those nights that you've got to be there to really understand how much fun it is and how engaging it is to be with the players and speak to them about whatever it is that they want to talk about, or you want to talk about with them, because they're so open. And even the staff around as well, like North staff are incredible as well. They're open to talking, they're fun to be around, they'll get pictures with you. It's all fun, it's all great. I enjoyed it, and if you ever want to go, get yourself there.
Yeah, I keep talking about it every year that I'm going to go. And this one snuck up on me. I was going to go in 2020, but obviously that was blown out of the water with the whole COVID thing. So yeah, no, it's yeah, I guess last couple of years as well, it's been a bit tough. So yeah, I mean, it's good that we're able to get a full crowd. And yeah, I did notice the roar. I did watch it by stream, and yeah, it was I did notice the roar as soon as Sonia got up. And yeah, Clarko as well. So yeah, no, it seemed like a really good night, enjoyed by a lot of people. So yeah, no, it's good that players engage as well, because yeah, it means something. It's there's nothing worse than if you went to a function and the players just kept to themselves and they didn't engage with the people. So yeah.
No, exactly right. And I've experienced that before as well. My partner, she's Carlton. I went to Carlton Best and Fairest one year, and look, a lot of players just ignored, fans are around, and you could just tell the difference between North Melbourne people and those other people there. North Melbourne people are the most loyal and grateful people around, and they're always going to have time for you, time for the supporters. It's always going to be there, no matter what. So we've got the best people going around at North Melbourne.
Yeah, I mean, we've always prided ourselves on a family club, which is most important. We're not, we're not the Essendons, we're not the Carltons, not the Collingwoods, but we're not the big club. So we always, our strength has always been, the blue collar and sticking together and being a family club. So it's good to hear those thoughts, and good job on getting absolutely smashed too, Michael. That's always a bonus.
Yeah, we won't go there.
probably best that you don't remember something. So, it's all good. I want to get your thoughts on, Jai Simpkin clearly winning it over LDU. How did you see that? Because I was a bit surprised. I wasn't surprised that Jai Simpkin won. I felt like they were pretty. It was going to be pretty even. But for Jai to be the clear winner, I was a bit surprised by that. How did you see it?
I'm very surprised also, but I didn't actually realise how much of a bigger first half of the year Jai had compared to LDU. LDU's first half of the year was more based on learning the game of halfback to then add that to his midfield experience that he's already got. So I wasn't surprised that the chase from behind for LDU was there in the last half of the year, but I am surprised that Simpkin did win by that, sort of margin. But in saying that, though, Jai improved as well in the last half of the season. His last few games, his kicking improved a fair bit. He was more alert. I feel like he became more of a leader and started to stand up when he needed to stand up, because he had that... he had LDU there with him. He had someone there who was competing as well. And when you're competing with someone else, you want to get better. And that's where I feel like Jai got better. He got better with players around him that wanted to get better. So that's where it's going to be a big difference. I can't wait for how many more they win, or how many more Brownlows that LDU can win.
Yeah, it'd be nice. I guess maybe I'm a bit blinded with LDU's finish. I thought his last 2 weeks was fantastic. And just he does more flashy stuff, whereas, you just notice when he does something special, LDU, whether it's a balk or, breaking through tackles where there is no space. Whereas Jai Simpkin...
Diggy dizzy as well.
What's that?
When he sends you a bit dizzy as well.
Yeah, that's right. So, spinning through tackles like a turnstile. He's certainly, I guess I got lost a bit in that. But, I thought it would have been a bit closer. I've got no problem with Josh. He's a well-deserved winner. But, I thought maybe it wasn't much in it. But I guess proven wrong. So, what did you make of Aiden Corr coming eighth? I was a bit surprised by that one, too.
Yeah, I'm very surprised. I don't know where that came from, but they obviously saw more than we saw. I'll get into that a bit later about Aiden Corr. I was very surprised he even made top 10.
Yeah, we've got to do a players review on him soon. So, also, best first year play. Do you think Jason or Francis deserve that?
I think this topic here brings a lot of people's expertise into division with it all. Personally, I think that Paul Curtis was the best first year player, hands down. His stats will read different to what Jason's do, but the efforts of Curtis to create play, to win a contested mark that we saw against Vlosten, for example, at all costs, he proved the difference in that sort of role he played in. And his pressure to tackle, his pressure to get the ball back through his mates, it was incredible to watch. It was almost like watching Sua Rioli playing for the Hawks back in the day, when he would just do everything like that. And Paul will really get better with more games under his belt. So, with nothing against Jace, Jace's role is good, but I feel like the impact of the role Paul played was a lot bigger.
I agree. I thought, the way Jason and Francis started first 8 rounds, hands down. He was top 5 in our best and fairest first 8 rounds. But, based on the last 10, 11 weeks, I would say Paul Pierce was by far the better player, especially his last 10 weeks. Now, I tweeted yesterday, he averaged 3.8 score involvements a game and 3.3 tackles a game in the last 10 weeks, which is pretty good for a first-year player. So,
Especially with the way we went inside 50 as well. It would have been hard to even get that many scoring involvements with the way we went inside 50 and the way we scored. So full credit due where it's due for Paul. It's unreal. Yeah. His consistency as well was there.
Yeah, I agree. I would have had Paul Curtis as best first year player, but yeah, I mean that's subject to opinion, I guess. But only on the balance of play, like I felt like Horn Francis first 8 weeks, yeah, fantastic. Like, but on the balance of our overall seasons, I felt like Paul Curtis was more influential in more games. So yeah, but doesn't matter. Anyways. We might as well do a few players review. Now I'm gonna give you six names. Then we're gonna go in alphabetical order. First name, alphabetical order. So we'll start at the top. We'll start with Aaron Hall. Now 31 years old, almost 32 now. 11 games in 2022. Was hampered by injury, a couple of hamstring strains, quads. 23.6 disposals per game. Ranked first in meters gained this year, in close to 600 meters gained in 2022. Compared to 20 games in 2021, where he averaged 27.9 disposals a game. Now, this year, he ranked 6th in rebound 50s, but this is where it hurts. Ranked 8th in turnovers, 5.5 per game. So that's where it really hurts with him, doesn't it? Because he does do bad turnovers, doesn't he?
He does, but I think that also came a lot more when he had those injuries. And that's where he stopped really being effective with the ball. His most recent injury, he had his kicking efficiency drop significantly. I feel like he became, instead of a asset to the field, he became more of a liability. Like, his speed is fantastic. Long kicking is normally great, but I don't know where to see him in future, and especially when we watched Josh Goethe's first game for the club. The way he played, it was unreal. His kicking was fantastic. And it's almost like as if we need that young blood to come in with a bit of energy. You know what I mean? I know there's no disrespect to dissing Aaron Hall. He's been great for us. But being dropped in that last game sort of shown why he was dropped with his efficiency and turnovers. It just got worse as the year went on. And obviously injury didn't help. 11 games didn't help comparing to his last season where I think he was snubbed big time being All-Australian. Yeah, he just wasn't himself. He was a very big shadow of himself.
Yeah, I mean, he's out of contract. Do you think we keep him for next season? I mean, he was almost 32 now. No, you don't think so?
Yeah, I think he's been offered a year contract. I'm not too sure if it's going to happen. But what I've been told, he's going to get a one-year contract and hopefully makes the most of it. But I see him maybe being that VFL leader instead of being an AFL leader. As much as he loves to be that leader in the AFL, if he can string a big preseason together, then why not? I just don't see him staying at 22 with the young talent we've got coming through. And look, no, nothing against him. He's a great player, but yeah, that's just the way it is.
Yeah, it's probably a bit 50-50 on him at the moment because we are talking about getting a lot of players yet into the club. And a bit of a broom coming through, so it's going to be interesting. Might depend on that. Now he's not a free agent, so he either gets delisted or traded. So he wouldn't get traded for much if he was to leave. So yeah, it's an interesting one. I'm not too sure. I guess the turnovers really hurt because he does try and bite off more than he can chew sometimes. But yeah, we'll see how we go. Now we'll go to the next one. Now Aiden Corr. Now he's a 28-year-old. Played 20 games after two games in 2021. Was hampered by injury, the foot injury. He averaged 14.7 disposals per game, a career high in marks per game at 5.2. Disposal efficiency has always been good with him, 80.7% this year. Every time he gets a ball, I always feel confident that he's always going to hit a target. But I was a bit underwhelmed. Were you underwhelmed with him this year?
Yeah, I was very underwhelmed. I mean, he was almost like a new recruit. At the same time, though, I felt like he was invisible on field. But it was also hard for him to play the role he wanted to play whilst we were in trouble with injury a lot of the year. He might be one of the biggest points to prove to make under Alistair Clarkson in the future. I don't think he did enough. I think he's got more to improve with. And one-on-one, he goes all right. He can play tall and play small at the same time. That's one of his biggest traits. But he disappears out of games. I don't see him doing enough. And I think he can do a lot more. playing the Luke McDonald type of role with Luke as well at the same time. But only time would tell. He might, you know, after another preseason, he might be able to gel properly with those boys at the halfback and at fullback. So I'll give another year, see how he goes. If he can't get himself going properly the way that we know he can, like he did the Giants, I don't see him lasting at North.
Yeah, he's contracted till 2025, so that hurts a bit.
It does, and look, it might be really harsh, that as well, but I just feel like that he's got more to give than he has been giving.
Do you think it's a case of if he's got better players around him, he has less responsibility, where he has to take a big key board, where he can be that, you know, that halfback flanker? Like, your Ben McKay takes your best, you know, your best number one forward, and then he probably takes number two. Maybe he's better as a number three defender. Do you think that's a
case? I reckon that might be the case. And judging by his last game against the Suns, he had 28 touches. He had, you know, 9 marks as well. I feel like he was damaging that game, only because I feel like with Callum Dawson being in the side, Callum was able to take that bigger forward, and Cole was able to intercept the ball a bit more. He had 8 interceptions that game. He was involved in scores 4 times. He had 9 marks, and he had 775 meters gained. So that's what we know he can do, but it's not enough. I mean, even he had 15 rebound 50s. That we know he can do that, but we haven't seen it enough this year. So with the bigger body there of Cal Dawson with Ben McKay, maybe he can do that next year. But as I said, time will tell.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think there's a role for him. And, yeah, he is in the best 22. But just some games, particularly that Fremantle game where he played on Joy and Miss in his first ever game. And he just got schooled by, you know, first game player. That's... Yeah, he probably had a few quarters like that this year, and yeah, we just want that consistency that he can produce like he did at GWS. But
that's exactly right.
Yeah, so hopefully, yeah, we can see the best of him. Yeah, for years to come under Clarko. We'll go to the next one, Aiden Bonner. Now, 23-year-old, averaged 8.5 disposals a game. His disposal efficiency went down a bit this year, 76.5%, whereas previously it was 84.1%. Never a big possession type of player, more of a lockdown halfback back pocket type of player. How did you see his year? He was a fringe player, isn't he?
He's a fringe player, yes. And look, he had a mammoth effort against Mohamed Kaya in the year when he had to take that big responsibility and could only do so much when injuries took us down. So full credit to him where it was due. He's one I want to keep an eye on if he can get himself right without getting injured. I think his potential is there. He has his best mate there, Luke Davies Uniac, who will help guide him at the same time too, I think. So, look, we haven't seen a lot of Aiden. He was number 11 in the draft 2017. So, look, I think he's got talent. It's just a matter of getting his body right.
Yeah, that's a big one.
Consistently.
Yeah, I think he's just been hampered by injury throughout his whole career at the Giants and at North Melbourne. He played 10 games this year. He hasn't played more than 10 games in the season in his whole career. So it's about getting continuity in your body, and that's where it's at for him. He's contracted for one more year. It's still only 23. So hopefully we can see the best of him years to come, I guess, in next year, because it is a big year for him. It's probably a career-defining year for him next year, isn't it?
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, so, yeah, we'll see how we go with him. Now, we'll go to the next one. Only a couple more to go. So, Atu Bosnavolagi. Now, only 9 games in 2022, averaged 7.9 disposals per game, down from 10.1 in 2021. 0.9 rebound 50s per game, and 77.5 disposal efficiency, down from 84% in 2021. I felt like he regressed a bit this year. He's supposed to be a rebounding defender, and he only averaged 0.9 rebounds a game. I'm not too sure. I think the experiment of trying him as a rebounding defender, I think it's over. If he is going to get another year, you'd have to think that he's probably going to have to move forward again.
I had these sentiment notes, the exact same thing as you did, Dean. When Aaron Hall wasn't available, what was he doing? He didn't rebound like he should have as a halfback. He can do that so well in the VFL, but he just can't present that at AFL level. So, as you were saying, the experiment is done as a backman, as a halfback. Getting back to where he was drafted as a forward. Getting going there, see what he can do at half forward. We know he can kick a goal outside 50. He did against the Cats last year. We know he can have a bit of run. If he gets that run going in his natural position, who knows what he can become. So hopefully we see that experiment finished. And if he does stay at North Melbourne, hopefully we can see Clarko move him half forward where he was, because you never know what he could do. He could just, you know, have the penny drop and he could become a gun for us. He could have, with that help with, you know, likes of Steve-O going forward again, with Zohar there, with Curtis, Ford, all those sorts of players. He could be a fringe player, but he could be a player that comes in and be handy for you. So, yeah, time will tell again with that sort of bloke. But we need to get him back at half forward again.
Yeah, I mean, I'm surprised they've never really tried that throughout the year, because we were crying out for a small forward and they never actually tried it. I mean, he was playing reserves in the back line. Probably a player that's too good for reserves, but when it comes to the AFL, he's very underwhelming. I think that's probably the best way to put it. He looks a bit lost out there. So, yeah, I think the time has come to try something different with him. If he is going to get another year, I don't know if he'll get that opportunity. It might be all over for him. So, yeah, well, time will tell with that. I guess it depends who we bring in as well. So, yeah, we'll see how we go. Because, yeah, if you only see him as a rebounding defender, then he's going to get delisted, basically. And that's the unfortunate, brutal part of AFL football. So, yeah, we'll find out in the coming weeks. Anyways, we'll go to a more positive one. Probably a career best year for this bloke, third in the best and fairest. And I'm talking about Bailey Scott, a 22-year-old. Now, averaged 18.2 disposals per game, up from 12.8 in 2021. His clangers went down from 2021 with more possessions, so it was two a game. From 2.4 the year before. 3.7 rebound 50s per game. That was all in the first half of the year when he was playing as a rebounding defender. He did move up to the wing. Disposal efficiency went up from 78% from 75 in 2021. Meters gained went up from 176 to 308. And time on ground went up 10% as well. 85.3% time on ground this year as opposed to 74.7% in 2021. Career defining year, wasn't it?
It was amazing. Third and Sid Barker, I didn't see it coming. I thought he'd be finishing top 10, but I didn't see third. He was a shining light for me this year. I felt at ease watching him every week. He was crafty. He reminded me of his old man, Robert. And I only watched Robert a few times on YouTube watching North highlights. And then, like, my grandmother, she's a big North supporter, and she even said to me as well, he moves like his old man.
And he does very similar.
That gives him a little bit of goosebumps as well, because, like, wow, this kid, he's going to be an absolute superstar then if he can do that. The way he competed every week for his mates, he fought, he went hard, his attitude is there. Whether we're up and down in match, he just wants to go and go and go. So for 2023, I would love to see him kick more goals, because when he kicks a goal, he gets him up and about. He's that wing type that can just go bang, bang, bang. And we see him get more games under his belt after his 50 games. He'll improve with the likes of LDU, Simpkin, Horn Francis, Lazaro, a few other players like Powell and Phillips. You watch out for Bailey Scott and his speed, he'll make you pay. And that's very exciting to see. So I can't wait for what he can do in 23.
Yeah, 100%. Look, I wasn't surprised that he came third, to be honest with you. I thought he'd be top five. Third, I was a little bit surprised, but I wasn't totally surprised. Like, I thought, he's a really consistent year. Like, you look every week in the AFL app, and he was always leading the team in kilometres that he ran per game. It was always up 13, 14 kilometres per game that he ran. Like, his gut running was the best in the team by far. And, yeah, thoroughly deserves, you know, a good contract. Hopefully we can give him a three or four-year deal now. I wouldn't be opposed to that. There was talk that Geelong were keen on him. That seems
to get sacked.
Yeah, he's a bit too young for Geelong anyway. He's 22, not 32. So, yeah.
exactly right.
Hopefully he can get a good deal and, you know, good, Yeah, because it was, like a career defining year for him as well. Out of contract last year was okay, but you wanted to see an improvement, and he definitely improved, and good on him, I guess. And he's going to be an important part for us going forward as well. So hopefully we can hang on to him. We haven't signed him yet, so yeah, we'll see how we go with all that. We'll go to another positive one. We'll finish off with a really good story. Ben Cunnington. No, I'm not going to go through his stats.
No, we won't do that.
Two games, but. It was just a feel-good story, wasn't it, getting him back playing footy once again after all he's been through.
He's amazing, isn't he?
Yeah,
look, although I felt like he came in a little bit too early for, in terms of NFL comeback, it was an amazing time to watch him play. He was warming to the heart. Yeah. When you saw him come out, a tearjerker, watching him run to his family, it was amazing. And the first touch of the game as well, a few times, that was awesome. And that last game against the Suns, where at the 10-minute mark, we all got up and applauded him. It was a big roar. It was beautiful. It was loud. And when he got that ball straight off the bench, it just went up a notch. It was incredible to see. You could see how much it was amazing. He's so hungry for it. And look, I'm excited to see what he brings to the midfield. Funny enough, he's almost like a new recruit to our team. Because the blokes that have flourished this year and last year as well, when he wasn't around after that, shot of cancer as well. When they have him back in at midfield when he's got that preseason, they're going to be improving already by 4 or 5 goals, the whole team. And I would love to see him play at full forward a few times too, because we know he can take a strong mark. We know he can kick a few goals. So, yeah, I'd love to know where Clarko will play him and how he will play him. What do you see with Cunners and how he'll impact the team in 23?
Yeah, I mean, it's very different now, isn't it? Like, whereas 2021, like, I'll go through some of his stats. Like, he's 10th in the competition for stoppage clearances per game, second in clearances per game in 2021, second in contested possessions per game in 2021, third in centre clearances per game in 2021. So he was that contested player, but you sort of got LDU taken over now. I still think there's a role for him in the midfield. Obviously, you'll need a preseason. He was a bit heavy, but that was, just the emotional attachment, especially that Adelaide game. He had 4 or 5 goals, just his presence there by himself. So I think, he'll trim down a lot. And, he'll probably play little bits forward and still going through the midfield. I still think he's a very classy midfielder. I'm not going to write him off at 31 years old. He's been through a lot as far as personal health goes. So I wouldn't put it past him to get back to his best of 2017 to 2019 and 2021. Those years were fantastic. So
you always feel like that, having this little patch of a spell. He's added another year to his, footballing career. I feel like that'll be a big thing coming up. And look, I'm just looking at the stats now, and I'm seeing Davis Uniac and Simpkin for total clearances, ranked 20 and 21, both 111. And when you bring a bloke like Cunnington in, that could almost increase by another 10 or 20. So, again, having that experience that we didn't have all year, it might do such a good thing for our young midfielder to win games, and that's what we need.
Yeah, and you got Hugh Greenford, that's a clearance king as well. I mean, it'd be hard. Yeah, that's going to be our strength next year. And one of them will have to play the spells forward as well. And exciting times, especially if we can get a good preseason into him next year. He's still very important for us. And, it was just good to get him back out playing football, and that's the main thing. So, and I think you'll get, Elsa Class will get the best out of him.
Agree. Absolutely agree.
Yeah, anyways, Michael, I think that's it. I appreciate you coming on the show. I didn't want to do any more players than that. We've taken up enough time. I really appreciate you coming up on the show. And, I'm sure I'll chat to you soon.
Thanks, Sam. I appreciate you having me on tonight. And I can't wait for next year. It's going to be an absolutely cracking year. Go Kangas. And thanks again, Dean. I appreciate it.
That's all right. Where can people find you if they want to chat to you?
Find me on Twitter, Mick_Ruse3. I changed my name, actually, to Clarko Ruse. So you can see the big picture of Clarko in his old jumper in the old playing days and the name Clark O'Roos, and you see a whole lot of bans I'm giving to the scum supporters who absolutely deserve it after the hard times they give us. So feel free to get onto that. Feel free to bag the crap out of those losers and just enjoy that they're burning in that crap hole warehouse. That doesn't even make any sense. We don't want to have any heritage back at that flog place, Windy Hill. Just get into them. Get into those scum.
Yeah, good to finish on a high note. So yeah, no, it's, give it as good as you get. So we've had a pretty tough against them. I think they've beaten us 8 times in a row. So it's good to get that small victory over them.
That's a reminder of 2014 finals when Petrie did that Frank the Tank celebration. They hated it. 33-point lead they had and the 45-point turnaround. Thank you very much. See you later, scum, you marshmallow-eating flogs.
Yeah, fair enough, Michael. Anyways, mate, on that note, we might as well end it before I get banned off Apple Podcasts or something like that. someone puts in a complaint or anything like that. Thanks for coming on the show, and I'm sure I'll chat to you soon.
Thanks again, Dean. Much appreciated. Go North.
So thanks to Michael for coming on the show once again. Apologies to any Essendon supporters that happened to listen to this episode. I don't think there'll be any, to be honest with you, but apologies if it did offend you. Michael did go on a bit of a rant there, but all in a bit of fun and good humour. So anyways, that's it for this episode. So I will be back later in the week talk about the women's team again. We've got a big game coming up against Adelaide Crows on Saturday afternoon. So I'll do a preview about that, as well as talking about it, our narrow loss to the Demons last week, and touch on that as well. So I haven't got anyone lined up just yet. So yeah, I'll get in the thick of that, and I'll be back later in the week to talk about that. Probably back next week. Continue the players. Review as well. I'll go through the next six after that. I'll continue to do six probably at a time and catch up on any news as well. Thanks to all you people that are retweeting, commenting, liking, subscribing to the show. I really appreciate it. It's definitely going out to more people. So, and that's the most important thing, that the show is growing. Ian and Patrick Allwood, you're both legends. You're always retweeting the show. So I really appreciate that. So, that's it. I'm done. Today, I will leave a shout out to Ross Glendinning. Bye for now.